Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
If the Bible doesn't have any authority, and my heart's got more authority than the Bible, and Jesus didn't really rise from the dead, you know what? Let's go to the park. I'm going to lay in bed here for a while on Sunday morning. I get up every day and go to work. I'm going to lay in bed. And that's what happens to liberal and progressive churches. They die.
Inflation, the love of people growing cold, lawlessness, and people leaving the faith. All signs of the end times. If we see these things happening now, what does it mean and how should it affect how we live our lives? We are studying the words of Jesus in Luke 21:9 through 19 and his instructions to us on what we, the church, are supposed to be doing when we see signs of the last days happening. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
These have been called signs of the times. And then other people say, well, they're not signs of the times at all. And the truth is in the middle. These are the characteristics of the birth pains. The next it says, there will be great earthquakes in various places. Now this is really important. It doesn't say that earthquakes will be the characteristic of the birth pain. Listen to it again. There will be great earthquakes in various places. So it's the greatness of the earthquakes that is the characteristic of the birth pain, not just earthquakes. So the biggest earthquakes to have happened, two of them have happened in 2004 and 2011, in the century that we are living in today. So I think the case could be made for what Jesus said, that great earthquakes in various places. It's the great earthquakes that matter in various places. And when you see a big earthquake, it's supposed to make you think, we're living in the last days. That's what Jesus is telling us. Now, famines in the 20th century as well. The first thing that we should understand about famines is that science, the science of agriculture, being able to grow food, science has brought us to a place where we can feed everybody on earth. In fact, we could double, triple the number of people on earth and still feed them. So the fact that there were famines in the 20th century, when we had all of the technology that we needed to feed everybody in the world, tells you it was because of the corrupt heart of men that there were famines in the world. There were famines in Russia, there were famines in China, in Africa, which we all knew about, but they weren't the greatest famines of the 20th century. In Africa, you remember all the commercials in the 70s? I remember they had the care food. Do you remember that? It was just the kind of like gray food they'd plop on plates for these kids to eat in Africa. So I made a rice dish for my kids out of cream of mushroom soup and tuna fish, and they called it care food because it just, and so because they called it care food, I would plop it on, give me your plop. There's your food. Go ahead and eat that. It was actually delicious, by the way. I still make a version of it today with macaroni and cheese. It's still good. The care food is still delicious. We sent, there are a lot of commercials, raised a lot of money, sent a lot of food to Africa during the famine in the 70s in Africa. We sent enough food to feed everybody in Africa five times over, but the food never got, people still died because the warlords got the food, let it rot in warehouses because it was wealth to them. Imagine the wickedness of a man who wants his control over a certain area that he will let children die when he has the food and the means to get the food to the people. So that's what's going on when it comes to famine. And there were greater famines in the 20th century than there had ever been before, even though we had the technology to take care of it. We're also on the brink of a famine today. It's said that there are 30 million people who are starving to death as we speak in the world. And there are 100 million that are affected by famines today. Now there are 7 billion people on the planet Earth. So it seems like a small number comparatively, but we're also talking about food shortages. And if food shortages hit places like the United States, what do you think it's going to do in third world countries? If our shelves are going to be empty, which they're still saying they are, what is it going to do around the world? And we may have the ability to be able to rally and get food here for the United States, but it's going to affect people around the world. So famines are definitely increasing, and they are a characteristic of the birth pain. The next one is pestilence, and I don't know that we even really need to talk about it. We just went through a pestilence. There's still avian flu. There's still SARS and MARS are around us. We're still dealing with that. These are all things that, given our technology, given the advances of science in the medical community, we should not have these outbreaks, but there's reasons, again, by the corruptness of men's heart that these things are happening. Just as Jesus said, the increase and the birth pain aspect of these are a sign of the times. Jesus also went on to say, there will be fearful sights. And I don't know what that all entails. What I think of is 2020, when everything is shut down and there's riots in the streets and burning down buildings, but it's mostly safe. It's mostly peaceful. That's what they said. Mostly peaceful. Well, they're destroying, looting, and burning night after night after night. Fearful sight. Maybe there's some other things. And great signs in the heavens. Now, I don't know that we've had any great signs in the heavens, but there are some events that people point to. A certain alignment of constellations, a certain alignment of planets, and then there's the blood moon triads, and you've probably heard something about them. So let me just break down the blood moon triads, because this might be a sign. It might not be, but it might be. So it's not a surprise that you will get an eclipse on a Jewish festival, because Jewish festivals are held on full moons. This is what they don't tell you. It's like, why don't you just tell people this? So Jewish festivals are held on full moons. And so on a full moon, you get more eclipses, just where the moon is, where the earth is, and the shadow falls across the moon. And so, and this happens rarely, where there are four blood moons in a row that fall on Jewish holidays. So you've got Israel connected because they're Jewish holidays. So in the 40s, 1940s, there were four blood moons that happened on Jewish holidays consecutively, and Israel became a nation. Then in the 60s, there were four blood moons that happened in a row on Jewish holidays, and Israel took Jerusalem for the very first time. And then in 2014, there were four blood moons in a row, and you guys may remember that because this was the most deal was made of it. There were four blood moons in a row on Jewish holidays, and I don't know that anything happened significant. They say that rockets were fired into Jerusalem. There was an uprising between Hamas and Israel, you may remember, during that time. And that doesn't seem to me to be as significant as Jerusalem and Israel becoming a nation, Jerusalem. Then they say, well, it was right before COVID. We have COVID-19 because it came out in 2019, and that was what happened, and Israel was greatly affected, one of the nations that was affected most by COVID. And I think that's true. I think they were affected. I don't know if they were affected most, but they were affected by it in a great way. So maybe that's it. But I look at those and go, I don't know. Maybe they're signs. Maybe they're not. It seems to me that if they had another triad, it would be something really significant that would happen. And I think we're too far past 14 and 15 for anything significant to happen. Maybe I'm just being too, I am very skeptical. People tell me things, I'm a skeptical person. So maybe I'm just being too skeptical, and they really are some kind of signs. Now there's one more, and then I want to just kind of go over some of the other signs of the times, and then we'll close. But Luke 21, 12 through 19 tells us of one more characteristic of these birth pains. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up into the synagogues and prisons. Now there was early Jewish persecution of Christians. Paul was a part of that. Paul was a part of synagogues that tracked down Christians, cast lots to have them killed, and threw them in jail. He even went to other cities to find them, and that's where he gave his life to the Lord and became a leader in the actual group he was persecuting. So this is very early, but then it goes to later on. But you will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, but it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle in your hearts not to meditate beforehand what you will answer, for I will give you a mouth of wisdom. And this is Jesus speaking. I will give you a mouth of wisdom, which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends. They will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair on your head shall be lost. He already said some of you will die, so he's not saying you won't die. He's saying, if you're martyred for Christ and if you are persecuted for him, you will not lose anything by it because you will be blessed as a martyr. He goes on to say, by your patience possess your souls. So persecution in the world today, Christian persecution is heavy still in China, has been for the last 100 years. North Korea has been for the last 100 years. It's still a lot of persecution. In Russia, same thing. Around the world, there's a hatred of Christians. In Europe and in England, much more so than in the United States, although the United States is beginning to catch up. So we're not surprised that people hate us just because we're Christians. They hate us. And you guys experienced it, some of you guys did, when you were in high school and college, because a lot of the hatred came from professors who were picking on kids. So this is just part of the characteristic. So when we look at this and we go, there's 100,000 or so Christians who are killed every year for their faith, maybe even more than that right now, because the numbers are a little sketchy at this point. So 1 in 9 people are affected by persecution, severe persecution. 1 in 9 Christians are affected by severe persecution. So we could look at these birth pains and see that they have intensified and that we're kind of in the middle of one now because all these things are going crazy. But what else does the Bible say about the signs of the last days? These are interesting. The Bible talks about inflation in the last days. Just because we're living in it, do I think this is the last bit of inflation before Jesus comes back? I don't know, probably not. But it's just interesting. If we're talking about the signs of the times, inflation, the love of many will grow cold. Seems there's greater hatred today than any others. In fact, when Jesus says kingdom will fight against kingdom and nation against nation, the words for kingdom there are the word ethnos in Greek, and it means people group. That's what it means. So people group will fight against people group, and there's great hatred in the world today, not only in America between people groups, but in China, in Indonesia. There are these people groups that have slight differences, but they hate one another and are killing one another. The love of many will grow cold, the Bible says, in the last days. Lawlessness will increase in the last days. False teachers, we talked about last week. There will be a great apostasy. There's a movement now, the progressive church, and it's actually happening in churches in Tucson now. And progressive Christianity doesn't believe in the inerrancy of Scripture, doesn't believe in the authority of Scripture, doesn't believe in the resurrection of Christ. They're like, well, this is just a type of a picture of what the resurrection is going to be like. Jesus never resurrected. And what happens when churches start doing that? Pretty soon, if you came here and I told you guys, listen, Jesus didn't really rise from the dead and the Bible's not an authoritative book. What really has authority is your heart. Follow your heart. You're going to do good things if you follow your heart. Within a couple weeks from now, you're going to wake up on Sunday morning and go, why should I go to church? If the Bible doesn't have any authority and my heart's got more authority than the Bible and Jesus didn't really rise from the dead, you know what? Let's go to the park. I'm going to lay in bed here for a while on Sunday morning. I get up every day and go to work. I'm going to lay in bed. And that's what happens to liberal and progressive churches. They die. One guy says it's just a door out of the church. You just open up the door to enter into progressive Christianity because you're like, well, God is all love. God's not angry. God's all love. That's my heart tells me. And so you walk away from him, the great apostasy. Scoffers will arise. We talked about that. The gospel will be preached to all the world and then the end will come. That's really the only sign that we have of when Christ is going to return, when the gospel will be preached to every nation. And spoiler alert, there's an angel that flies through the heavens preaching the gospel to every nation in the book of Revelation. It's like, I think God had to move the time up and we couldn't get the work done. And so God had to go into plan B. Also, people will be lovers of themselves in the last days, lovers of money in the last days. They will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God in the last days. There will be an increase of knowledge and travel. Daniel was told in Daniel chapter 12, after talking about the end of the world, he said, seal these things up till the time of the end when knowledge will increase and men will go back and forth on the earth. Knowledge is increasing at an incredible rate and we are traveling all around the world today. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars, probably more than blood moon triads. There will be talk of peace and safety because the Bible says when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction comes upon them. This is probably connected to the peace treaty with Israel. The Antichrist makes a peace treaty with Israel and the whole world is like, peace in the Middle East. It's the end of the world. And you're right. It's the end of the world. When they say peace and safety, it will come upon them. So how should we live then? If these signs are the last days, Israel's a nation again, all of these signs are there, and we look around us and go, well, these are the signs of our times. Are we like the scribes and Pharisees? We couldn't determine the signs of our times. These are the signs of our times. So what does God want us to do with that? First of all, Jesus said, occupy until I come. We're not supposed to sell our houses or stop working our jobs, not supposed to stop providing for our families. We occupy. Because what if this is just a birth pain? and everything's going to calm down and it doesn't happen in your lifetime, then it's not a pleasing thing to Christ for you to get so caught up in somebody sensationalizing the end of the world that you no longer are living your life, the light shining as a light, shining for people around you, taking care of your family, right? Because for a man not to provide for his family is worse than a non-believer. So you do these things, even though you're looking and going, we can't be far from the end. Because for all you know, the birth pain will stop. And so you occupy until he comes. The next thing that we're told is to watch and pray that you would be counted worthy to escape all of these things that are going to come up on the earth. So we're watching. We're looking at the events happening and going, this is like the end of the world. And so then we pray that we would be counted worthy to escape. And I'll even add that our family, friends, co-workers, that they'd be counted worthy to escape as well. So I can escape the things coming on the earth in the last days. And people say to me, well, you're just an American that wants to escape. What gave you the first clue? Yes, I don't want to go through the worst time this world will ever see. I would rather wait and have more people come to Christ. But God brings us to the very last moment. So we are to watch and pray. Pray for people as we see these signs. That's what they should do for us. They're not for us to go, I'm going to stop working. I'm going to, you know, whatever. It's we begin to really pray. We begin to really shine as a light for Christ because the last days are upon us. And then he gives two things that the epistles wrote. One of them was redeem the time because the days are evil. They had evil days. When that was written, Nero was probably the emperor. The days were evil. We have evil days among us. So redeem the time. Make good decisions with your time. The second thing it says is make the most of your time because the end is near. Or the days are short. That's literally what it says. Make the most of your time because the days are short. So when we see these signs around us, do we make the most of them? That's what we do. And the warning of Jesus stands. There are going to be false teachers who are going to say, I am the Christ and the time is near. Don't follow them. If you do a search on the end of the world, the last days, the signs of the times, some of the first search results that are going to come up are the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and the Jehovah Witnesses. Because they've learned to sensationalize these things because they know that they get people. They know people will respond when they do it. And we want to make sure we're as far away from that as we can, using the signs of the times as we should, but living for Christ now, occupying, filled with the Spirit, being used by him as effectively as we can during these last days. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you as we have taken time to really look at these things and to see what your word says about how we are supposed to live and that these signs are taking place. And this is like a prophecy update. We do see that almost all of these things, maybe not the peace and safety, but all of these things are taking place in our day. And so, Lord, we want to live and occupy properly until you come. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a couple of moments. And I want to give you an opportunity if you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ. Maybe you're a Christian, you've gone to church, but you've never been born again. Going to church, being brought up in a Christian home doesn't save you. Someone said, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going into a garage makes you a car. You have to receive Christ. And the Bible says, as many as receive him, he gives the power to become a child of God. And maybe this is your day, the day that God has chosen since before the foundations of the world, that you would say, I want him in my life and I want to begin to live for him. So if you're here today and you've never given your life to him or you walked away from him, you need to make a recommitment, then I'm going to ask you to do something simple. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. You're saying, I want to invite Christ into my life. I want to stop living for myself and live for him, which is what repentance is. Repentance is simply turning from changing the way you live. And the Bible says, repent. Stop living for yourself and begin to live for God. So you want to give your life to Christ? Just raise your hand now. Lift it up high so I can see it. I want to make my way around the room. I want to acknowledge your hands. God bless you, sir. Under the balcony to my left, that's great. God bless you. Up in the balcony. Just lift your hand up now. God bless you out in the pavilion. That's awesome. God's touching hearts, saving souls, giving them eternity. And if I miss your hand, it's hard to see all the hands in this room. If I miss your hand, know that God sees it, all right? And if you're online, you don't need to raise your hand. Just simply pray this prayer with us. So I'd like everyone, including those who raise their hands, and you can put your hands down. I'd like everyone, including those who raise their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin separates me from you. I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life that I can live for you by the power of the resurrection. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen. Now, for those of you who raised your hands, whether it's a recommitment or a commitment, I was saved at 14, and then at 18, I walked away, and God came and got me and brought me back, and I recommitted at 19. And I could tell you, at 19 and 14, when I got saved and came back, God transformed me. He changed things in my life. He gave me new desires. He gave me a new heart. That's what the Bible says. He changed my desires and filled me with the Spirit. And the same thing's going to happen to those of you that gave your life to Christ. There's a new believers table off to the side. Make your way over there. We've got resources we want to give you. We want to come alongside of you and help you. If you're online, send us a text, Ready for Jesus, to 94,000. The link you get back is our new believers card. Click on that, fill it out. Even if you live in another city, we'll help you find a good Bible-believing church and a place that you can be baptized if you made that commitment to Christ today online. Now, I want to pray for you. And I like to pray for you based on what we've been covering. And so we're talking about living this balanced life where we don't deny the signs of the times. We see them clearly, but we also live properly. We occupy until he comes. We watch and we pray. We redeem the time. That's the balance where there's this identifying the signs of the times. And then people are like, flipping out and give me money and, you know, whatever, sell your car and just an unbalanced view. So I want to pray. The more we get closer to that time, if we enter into another contraction, or if this one ever ends, I don't know that we're in, because I think we probably are in a contraction. I want to pray that we would continue to live that balanced life of not denying the signs. These are foretold. It's pretty amazing. We're living in days just like the Bible says, and they're the last days, but we'd have that balance. So the Bible says, let men everywhere lift up holy hands and pray. And I'm going to ask you, men and women, to lift up your hands with me, and I want to pray for you. Father, thank you that our hands are made holy by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you that our sins have been forgiven. And it's a reminder to us when we lift up our holy hands to you and pray that things are right between you and us. And so, Lord, we call out that we would walk in this balance. Help us not to be caught away with the sensationalism of people that set dates or people that tell you it's going to happen before this time. Just help us be focused on you and redeeming the time, occupying, doing the things we're supposed to do, have that proper balance in our lives, and we pray this in the name of Jesus.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you, and His Word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit PCLAZ.org. That's PCLAZ.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
I wanted to have a stronger walk with Jesus. I wanted a better understanding of the Bible. And that's why I decided to enroll at Reach College of Ministry. The Bible study methods was only 8 weeks long, but it was life-changing. Both the instructor and course material met me right where I was at and gave me new tools to have a much better grasp of Scripture. Most importantly, my relationship with Jesus grew even stronger. I'm confident your experience will be life-changing. Attend in person or online from the comfort of your own home. Go to thereachcollege.org to start your journey. That's thereachcollege.org.